Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Take your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 42 this morning. Genesis chapter number 42. And when you found your place, stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Genesis 42. I'm just going to read one verse, but we'll look at a few different things out of this story. And my wife and I went through a trial not too long ago, and the Lord used this thought through the man of God to help my heart during that time. And I want to share this with you this morning. Genesis 42, and look at verse number 36. Genesis 42 and verse 36. The Bible says, "And Jacob their father said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not. Ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me." Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we love you today. Thank you, God, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be in church on a Wednesday morning. Thank you for each one of these young people who've gathered on this Lord, youth meeting time. And I pray, God, that you would open their hearts and their minds. I pray, God, that you would allow them to understand the burden that you've placed on us for today. I pray, God, you would deal distinctly and specifically. Lord, if there's one here that they've never been saved, they don't know you, I pray, God, that you would deal and, God, draw them to a place of repentance even this morning. God, for what's accomplished, we'll be careful to thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. Now, the context of this passage of Scripture that I've read this morning, we understand, is dealing with the story of Joseph. That's the most familiar that surrounds this text. We are introduced, if you will, to this young man by the name of Joseph in Genesis 37. We're introduced to him. Jacob loved Joseph more than all his sons. He gave him a coat of many colors. You remember that. He gave him position and authority over his brothers, if you will. And the Bible says that his brethren hated him. And out of envy, you know, they sold Joseph down into slavery. And he's bought by Potiphar, and he's falsely accused, and he's cast into prison. And then he begins to interpret some dreams, and he interprets dreams in the prison, and he interprets dreams for Pharaoh, and God gives him favor, and we see him rise to the position of second only to Pharaoh in the land of Egypt. And he leads the people, or the land of Egypt, through one of the hardest times of famine that they would ever experience. And so Jacob, he sends his sons to Egypt to buy corn. There's a famine in the land, and he sends them down to buy corn in Egypt. And they encounter their brother Joseph, and they encounter him. He's dressed like an Egyptian. He looks like an Egyptian. He speaks like an Egyptian, and they don't know him. They don't know that it's their brother that they had sold into slavery. And so now here in Genesis 42, we find out Jacob's reaction when the brothers return from Egypt. And so just for a few moments, I'd like to preach, if the Lord would help me, on living with the will of God. Living with the will of God. Now, I've talked to you, and it's been my burden for this meeting these days to talk to you about God's will for your life, and to talk to you about what it means to serve God with all your heart, and to say yes when God calls. And I've talked to you about those ideas, but this morning I want to bring another reality to your heart and talk to you about living with, not in, but with the will of God. And this is one thing that is a unique idea to think about, and we often inadvertently understand it's a reality, but I want you to understand the truth of it and how to deal with living with the will of God. Can I say that it's an entire
entire different thing to live with the will of God than living in the will of God. And that's where Jacob found himself. He's found himself in a place here where he's going to have to live with God's will, not just in God's will. And can I say to you that this idea would speak to our hearts, that when we say, when we have no say in the matter, will we still say, Lord, let thy will be done, not my will, but your will be done? When we find ourselves in this place and we can't choose the path, will we still trust the Master? Will we still trust the Lord in these times? You must learn not only to live in the will of God, but with the will of God in your life. And so I see a few things that I want to show you, and I'll be finished this morning. First, I want you to understand something about Jacob. I want you to understand the struggle with God's sovereignty that he experienced when he lived with the will of God. There was a struggle with God's sovereignty. Jacob's first response to this will was to resist it. What did he say in our text? He said, all of these things are against me. He said, my son shall not go down with you. The first thing in dealing with the will of God in your life when you don't have a choice is dealing with the struggle with God's sovereignty. He said, my son's not going. All of these things are against me. He says, then you got to understand and give Jacob a break. He doesn't have Romans 8:28. He doesn't know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. He don't understand all of that. And he finds himself in a place where he's struggling with God's sovereignty. So I want to give you a few reasons for this struggle. He was burdened by bereavement, I believe. The Bible says, me have ye bereaved. He struggles with this bereavement. His heart is heavy with grief, paralyzed by personal loss, and he feels like he's been treated unjustly. Can I just say to you, young people, there's going to be some times in your life where living with the will of God is going to burden you with bereavement. It's going to be sad. But then he was blinded by bitterness. He said, all of these things are against me. Can I say that sometimes when God's will is not what we thought and we had no choice in the matter and we find ourselves where Jacob is finding himself, we'll get bitter. We'll get bitter. And it'll blind us from God's plan. But he's also bankrupt of belief. He sees man's movements, but he's missing God's providence. Faith is absent and fear has filled the void, and he can't trace the unseen hand of God. I think about Genesis 50 and verse number 20, but as for you, this is what Joseph is saying, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. This is after all of this has happened, and Joseph also knows what it's like to have to live with the will of God. He didn't choose where he was at. He didn't choose what he had been through, but he understood that God is able to take a mess that the devil would use to destroy you, and he can make it good in your life. He can make it good. And can I just say to you, you've got to see God's hand. You've got to see his working. You've got to understand and believe in what you know is true and hold to it in these times, dealing with the will of God. So he struggled with God's sovereignty. But then I see this, he submitted to God's strategy, living with the will of God. The famine continues and Jacob resists, but this resistance doesn't stop the famine. Your resistance and your struggle with God's sovereignty does not stop the problem. But he submits to God's strategy. Something changes here in verse number 11. The Bible says, and their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruit in the land in your vessels. And carry down the man. Carry down the man a present. A little balm and a little honey and spices and myrrh and nuts and almonds. The first thing that we see in his submission to God's strategy is he pursues precious things. And can I say to you this morning, young people, can I say to you this morning that when you find yourself in a place where you are having to live with the will of God, you better find some precious things in that time. Look intentionally for something good, something sweet, and something special in your situation. Don't let pain blind you to the providence of God. You need to find some precious things. Pursue the precious, but deepen your devotion. Don't respond with retreat, but with a renewed dedication. Double in your efforts. He got deeper. Look at verse number 12. He said, and take double. A deeper devotion than he had before. Can I just say to you that instead of doing less in your pain, you need to learn to do more. Instead of pulling back, you need to press on. Instead of running from God, you need to run to God. Instead of questioning his hand, you need to trust his heart. Instead of closing your Bible, you need to cling to it tighter. Instead of skipping church, you need to show up anyway. Instead of blaming God, won't you bless his name? Instead this morning of falling apart, won't you fall at his feet? Instead of doubting his goodness, won't you shout over his greatness? Instead of complaining about what you've lost, won't you celebrate what remains? Instead of shutting down, won't you lift up your eyes into the hills from whence cometh our help? Can I say our help comes from the Lord? Instead of waiting on the storm to pass, won't you step up on the bow of the ship and praise him in the waves? Instead of retreating to bitterness, won't you remember his blessings? Instead of bottling up your grief, won't you just bring it to Jesus? Instead of cursing the night, won't you just run to the light? Instead of holding and hiding your hurt, give it to the healer. When you have to live with God's will in your life. So he pursued what was precious. And he deepened his devotion. But we see there's the sacred surrender. Verse number 13. Look at what happened. Well, there's a big change in verse number 13. The Bible says, take also your brother and arise and go again unto the man. There's a surrender that is sacred. Taking your hands off what is dearest to you. Releasing your grip. Relinquishing your control. And allowing God to have what's precious. Young people, when you find yourself in a place where you're not making decisions and you're not saying yes to this or that, but yet you found yourself having to live with the will of God, you better understand you need to take your hands off of it and you need to relinquish control. What you refuse to release will eventually rule over you. True relationship is when nothing is off limits to God. What is it that could be in your life that is off limits to God? Because when you find yourself living with the will of God, that's where you must turn loose of whatever that is. Benjamin was the best that Jacob had left. It was the very best he had left. And his heart was wrapped up in that boy. But now he gives his best to God. Then I see this, his rest in the Lord's rule. Trust in the sovereignty of the Almighty. Even when his hand seemed hidden. When you can't trace his hand, you can trust his heart. when you are required to live with the will of God, then you're going to have to do just that. There's no way around it. Look at what he said in verse number 14. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man. He rests in the sovereignty of God. Then we'll give you this. Not only did he struggle with God, but then he surrendered. Now we see that he stands in God's sufficiency. Genesis chapter number 45, here's what the Bible says. The Bible teaches us that Joseph reveals himself here in this chapter. Judah intercedes and there's reconciliation that occurs. And Joseph sends for Jacob. He says, tell my father and bring him here. They return home and they tell Joseph, or they tell Jacob, Joseph is yet alive. First, Joseph didn't believe it. But then he sees all the wagons. He sees all the stuff. And the Bible says that the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived, and Israel said, watch it now, it is enough. Jacob has been through a lot. He's been dealing with the will of God in his life. He had no choice in the matter. He had no say in the matter. And he's dealing with what seems to be something that is against him and something that is bad for him and something that has hurt him. When he sees this, he says, it's enough. You want to know what that's saying? That's saying all of that that the devil meant for bad, God meant it for good. I want to give you this. I want to give you this in closing this morning. Do you remember when the Bible says in Genesis 23, and you don't have to turn there, I'll give you this, but if you want to make reference and write it down. Genesis 23, that's the chapter where Sarah dies. It's the chapter where Sarah dies. It's tucked between two of the great mountain peaks of prophecy, if you will. There's Genesis 22, and then there's Genesis chapter number 24, and Genesis 23 falls right in there. You know Genesis 22 is where Abraham takes Isaac. You know Genesis 24 is where Rebekah comes to be wed. But in chapter number 23, Sarah dies. Right between faith's testing and faith's triumph, you find faith's tears. Sarah died, and Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. That's what the Bible says in Genesis 23 and verse number 2. He mourned and he wept. Now, when I thought about that, I thought, you know, there were some other times in Abraham's life that he probably should have wept or could have wept. He left Ur of the Chaldees. He left his friends. He left his family. He left what he knew as normal to follow God's will, to live in God's will. But that was hard. What if God came and told you need to pack all of your bags and you need to move far away from everybody that loves you and cares for you? It'd be hard. Might even be some tears, but Abraham didn't cry about that. Then there was another time with the grumble that I would think that Abraham would have cried, and that was when he had to take his son up on the mountain and offer him as a sacrifice. You remember that in Genesis 22? Well, I don't know about you, and I don't have any children yet, but that'd be a pretty tough thing to do when God said, take your son up on the mountain and put him on the altar and sacrifice him. But we don't read where Abraham cried about that. But in Genesis 23, when Abraham's wife died, he weeps. Brother Jeremy, he didn't weep when he left Ur. He had a choice in the matter. He didn't weep when he took his boy up on the mountain to sacrifice. because he had a choice in the matter. But when Sarah died, he didn't have no choice in that. And he realized that now I'm living with the will of God. I'm not living in or doing the will of God. He had no choice in the matter. And as much as I want to get up here and preach to you about giving your heart and all to Christ, and you should, and dedicating your heart and life to Him, you still need to understand there's going to be some times in life where you don't have a choice in the matter, and you have to learn to deal with the will of God. Whatever it is that God has brought into your life and you had no choice in the matter, you've got to learn that that's a reality. Sometimes you don't get to choose. Sometimes you don't get to make the decision to do God's will. Sometimes it's made for you. And you have to learn to live with it. A couple months ago, me and my wife, I was at work one day, and I remember I looked up, and she hadn't texted me or called me or anything. I looked up, and here she come through the back part, out the back of our warehouse at work, and here she come, and I could see something was on her mind. Her eyes was big, and when she got to me, her hands were shaking just a little bit. And I said, "You okay?" She said, "I've got something to tell you." She said, "We're expecting. We're going to have a baby." And I can't even explain to you how that made me feel. I didn't know whether to cry, tie my shoes. I didn't know. But then I remember not just too long after that, we realized that we weren't. That God had taken that little baby home. If God had asked me, "Which way will you choose?" I wouldn't have chose that way. On the most spiritual of days, Brother Jeremiah, I wouldn't have chose that. So God did. And then I had to live with it. It was His will. I know it was. Brother Jeremiah, when that boy was laying in the hospital, and you didn't know if he'd live or die. If you'd been given the decision on the most spiritual of days, I don't know that you'd have said, "Yeah, Lord, that's okay." But you had to live with it. And young people, serving God is wonderful. It's incredible. But you better prepare yourself for the things you don't choose. And trust Him that He knows what He's doing. And one day, I don't really know how it's all going to play out, but one day I know this. I don't know if it was a little boy. I don't know if it was a little girl. But one day I know this. I'm going to get to meet that little young. I believe it as sure as I'm standing. And though I don't understand it this morning, though I don't get it, God, just help me trust You in it. There's coming a day where You'll be there. Are you going to trust Him? Don't let the things that you can't have a say in determine how you serve God. Because if that's the approach, then you'll stay in the stage of struggle with the sovereign and you'll never fully surrender. Heads are bowed this morning. That's what the Lord laid on my heart. It could be that you just need to dedicate yourself
refresh and say, God, come what may, and I'm aware of what could come, I trust you.